This morning we want to talk about love games. Love games. I'm going to have a guest shortly that's going to join me, but let me leave it until about the time I'm going to bring my guest up. But just keep your fingers crossed. It's going to be a good time in the presence of God this morning. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Ruth, Ruth chapter 1. It's a very nice book, very easy to read book. It's a good book to read. There are two books in the Bible that were written after women. And it's amazing that one of them was written after a woman that is not a Jew. You need to understand the context when the Bible was being written. Number one, women were not very popular, you know. There was a lot of cultural issues against the women. Now, number two, Ruth was not even a Jew by birth. Ruth was a Moabitess. Moabitess were, Gentiles, but just not ordinary Gentiles. They were children, they were people that were given birth to by Lot's daughters. You know, they were product of incest. So you can imagine all the odds against Ruth. But the Bible was still written after her. And I think the message of the book of Ruth, first of all, to anybody that cares to listen, is that you are enough. God can take what is bad and can make something good out of it. I think I need to tell somebody that this morning. That thing that the devil thought was bad, God can still make history out of it. If I'm talking to you, say amen. Amen. Ruth chapter 1. 16 and 17. The Bible says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." Verse 17. Where you die, I will die, and where you are buried, the Lord do also to me and more, if aught but death part thee and me. The statement that Ruth gave here is pretty much what has been adapted to become some of the vows that people do during weddings nowadays. You know, where you say that till death do us part. Is pretty much from this statement here. And Ruth was talking to a woman who had lost her children, Ruth's mother-in-law. And in this whole scenario, you will see how love actually should be. Because there was love between this daughter-in-law and her mother-in-law, which is very unusual. You know, it's not all the time that you see that. Now, this kind of love that was being exhibited here is the love of God. And ladies and gentlemen, if there was any time that men and women need to operate the love of God, it's now. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if you are born again, the first thing that God gives to you is love. Did you know that in the Old Testament, God was telling them what they should not do? But in the New Testament, God not necessarily, what he has done is that he's telling us what to do. And the power to do it is what he normally does to us when we give our life to Christ. Because Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says, Romans chapter 5 and number 5, the Bible says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. In another translation, the love of God has been made available lavishly in our heart. So we came into this salvation experience by that love of God. So that love of God is there. It's already in you. You just have to allow it to flow. You just have to permit it to move out. It's already there. And this love of God that I'm talking of, I want to share three things about it. Then I will go into my some of the love game dimension that we want to look at this month. Number one, the love of God that I'm talking about, this love of God that I'm talking about is divine in its nature. Of course, because it's the love of God, it has to come from Him. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, the Bible did not say God has love. It says God is love. God is love. If you were to ask who is God, the answer will be correct if you answered and said God is love. So this love of God that I'm talking about is divine in its nature. What is this love of God? This love of God that I'm talking about is deliberate in its service. There is intentionality in its service. This love is not just divine. This love is not just an experience. This love is also a verb. It's an action word. Somebody, one of my friends, he always says this. He says, love is not a noun alone. Love is an action word. You can find love by the service of love. Love is deliberate in its service, especially the love of God. The Bible says in John 13 and verse 1, speaking about Jesus here, the Bible says, having loved his own, he loved them to the very end. The deliberateness of the service of love. This love of God that I'm talking about is very intentional in service. This love will serve people at home. This love will serve people not even at home. This love will serve people that they know. This love will serve people that they do not know. This love does not want to show off. This love is the love that Jesus had, that Jesus was washing the feet of his disciples. Did you know that the reason that they needed to show Jesus, the reason that they needed to betray Jesus, was that Jesus was not easily identifiable? He was like the disciples. He was very unlike the regular man of God that we have today. The man of God, you know. And I know the place of honor. I'm not downplaying the place of honor. I mean, you know that sometimes if you don't honor, save some man of God, the man of God, you may not see him next week, because I think it was Daddy Gio that was saying that he went somewhere the other day and people in the name of tapping anointing, it was more of like slapping anointing, you know. By the time he left that place, he was bruised. So sometimes you have to protect the man of God, but you get the concept. Jesus was a regular guy. You could approach him. He was that kind of person that you could come to church and you will meet Jesus your first Sunday in church. I mean, he will walk up to you. Hi, my name is Jesus. Nothing about him. That's why they needed someone, because they couldn't tell who was Jesus, who was Peter. He just ruled like the other guys. And that is the nature of love. Very deliberate in his service. Very, very sacrificial in his service. Let me add one more thing, and I'll talk about some of the nature of the love of God again next week before diving into some aspect of what I want to talk about today. So it is divine in its nature. It is deliberate in his service. It is durable in its affection. It is durable in its affection. This is very important. If you want lasting love, it's like the love that we have nowadays. It's like our phone, that the charge always reduces every day. You always, it's almost like the same mouth that said I love you like 2 minutes ago, just few actions that happen here and there, the person will say I don't love you again. But you see, this love of God is durable in its affection. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3, Jeremiah 31 verse 3, this is God declaring here. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. The love of God, if we allow that love to find expression, is an everlasting love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. This love does not expire. There are no expiry dates with it. So God is telling us this morning, friends, that there is a love of God. And this is the love that God wants you as a child of his to exhibit. It's not just the love that we'll be reading in the next few days, or maybe we've already started reading about, that is just very sensual. This has to be divine love. So the concept of love that we're going to be discussing about this month is from this premise, divine love. this love that is durable in his affection, this love that is deliberate in his service, this love that is divine in nature. So I want us to play some scenarios next week. And the first scenario we are going to play, we are going to need a lady to help me. And this lady is my own girlfriend, you know. My girlfriend for 20 what now? I've known her, well, not girlfriend, not for 20-something years, but I've known her about 20 years and going forward. Let me introduce you now. You know, it's like, maybe you should go back, you know. It's like sometimes when an African man goes and opens the door, the lady would think he wants to go and sit in the passenger side. She would not go back to the driver's side because he's not used to opening the door. So let me open the door for you. Ladies and gentlemen, as an introduction to some, and I'm losing my steam. help me welcome the delectable, the selectable, anointed, gifted, and called by God. Yeah, you can put your hands together for Jesus, my dear beautiful wife. All right, you're welcome. You're going to use that mic. Okay. So what we want to do is this. I'm going to talk to the guys. She will talk to the ladies. We'll do that this week. We'll do that next week. And the first game is this. And a game not necessarily does not have to be a bad thing. You know, we're going to watch a game here next week. A game can just be a game of soccer, game of football. And love in itself can be a game, you know. And the main thing about games are that there are rules to games. And the concept of what we're trying to do is that we want to explore what are some of the rules to do love in different categories and to make love work. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the things that people call love today is not working. And we need to figure out from the Word of God what God has to say about some of these things. So this morning, I'm going to be talking about the getting the lady game. The getting the lady game. And then you are going to be talking about what?
The being found. Being the found game.
All right.
Being the found game.
All right. So, the getting the lady game. How do you get a lady? Huh? Hello. Hello. For the single guys. How do you get a lady? Huh? Because sometimes it feels like church brothers are not very good at that. Huh? The Lord said. Yeah, yeah. The Lord said. Let me start like this. This is my before main point. There's a main point I have here, but let me just throw this in. Before you take your answer to any lady, and by answer, I mean that your interest, right? I want you to consider that the person you are trying to show interest in is like somebody that you are giving your exam papers to. In every exam, the teacher celebrates your effort, but he doesn't want to see many of your rough work. So please, in the name of Jesus Christ, every rough work you have done, including God told you, keep it to yourself. Bring the answer to us first. Can somebody say amen? Amen. That's how it should be. You can tell us how God moved the heaven and the earth after you have given us the answer first. You know? All right? So I just thought to throw down in for free first. I should have started somewhere else, but I needed to quickly put in that. Because I'm going to say something and some people may not first understand. But you see, the first thing I believe a guy should do when it comes to interest in a lady, and I think you need to start doing that even before actively I want a lady, and that is find God. I'm sure somebody will be like, how does that connect to having a lady? Find God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and every other thing shall be added to you. You know, I started this whole talk about talking about the fact that there is love that has been shared abroad in our heart, and this love is divine, this love is from God, this love has some qualities and all of that kind of thing. You need to know God for you to know anything God can offer you. The reason why sometimes it feels like some things are far-fetched is because many people that hang around God don't know the God that they are hanging around. That's why you have to seek God. As a young man, as a young woman, even if you are not so young, you have to seek God. Now, this seeking God does not have to stop as a means to an end. Your seeking God should not be that you are seeking God so that you can get something, someone. Because that's usually what happens. That's what happens, that sometimes some people will, through God, get something and then try to now manage it by themselves. No, the same God that you have used to get to things, that same God you have to carry him along. So that means that this principle of God first, seeking God first, does not have to stop in the days of I'm looking for a wife. That same principle has to move even into the days of I have found a wife.
So, for the ladies, hallelujah.
Amen.
It's kind of similar to what he mentioned. Be found in God. Be found in God. And I just even want to say that some of these principles that we're sharing is for life. It's not only because you want to get married. Like some people treat God like an ATM machine. You go there, take the money, go spend it. When you need again, you come to God. That's not God's plan for you. He wants you to abide in him. The scripture I have here is in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "For you are dead, and your life is hid in Christ in God." So you are in Christ and you are in God. If a man of God or someone, your husband, wants to find you as a single lady, let him find you in Christ in God. That's your address. And it's not a temporary address, it's a permanent address. And I need to say that because lots of men, like Pastor mentioned, they know they can find good girls in church, right? You come to the kingdom, you pick a girl out, and then they transport the girl from the kingdom of light to darkness. No, that's where you reside. That's where you are. And it means that when you are found in Christ, you also find your identity, you find your purpose, yeah. You find your journey there. And that is very, very important, because how many of you know that if I'm going to the north side, I dare not get into a car that's going to the south side, or vice versa. So you need to know that you are complete, and there are many scriptures you can search about the promises of God in Christ, because that's where you reside. The Bible says that you are complete in Christ. You are complete already. You don't need anybody else to complete you. It's going to be whoever you're going to journey in life with. It's going to be a person that you are partnering with to get to that destination. There are many things. You also have your destiny in Christ. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11 that he has a plan for you.
Yeah.
So some people's marriage, they feel like, oh, when I get married, then I'll be rich. When I get married, I will know what next. No, he has a plan for you. That's one of the reasons why you came alone, right? When God fashioned you, you came. He has a plan for you. And do you know what? The beautiful thing is that plan is good, not of evil. Amen?
Amen.
He has a good plan for you. So,
all right.
Yeah.
I like the plot that you said he has a plan and that you're already complete, because I think it was the show that Bethel had yesterday, and they were talking about... you didn't have a show yesterday. It was on Friday, all right? And then I think it was at that I was saying that, this missing rib theology, you know, where some people think they are not complete because somebody said, because Eve was taken out of Adam's rib, you know. And so that means that every man is incomplete and every woman somehow is incomplete. I mean, from the point of complementation, from the point of we are complementing each other, you can look at it at that. But from the point of creation, every man, every woman is complete. You know, you are complete in Christ, just like you said. She said, so it's not marriage that needs to make you complete. So you can do everything by God, even before getting married. And so you shouldn't use that label of I am not married, not to be able to do something. So let me talk to the guys again. The next thing I believe anybody that is interested in fulfilling and having a godly marriage as a young man, as a young woman, as single, is that that person, after finding God, after seeking God, which will be an ongoing event, that person needs to find himself. You need to find yourself. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, speaking to Jeremiah, he said, look, before I formed you, I knew you. And I have ordained you as a prophet to the nations. It's like God finishes a man before he starts the man. Now, your job is to find what God has finished. When you show up here, you showed up as a finished product, but you now need to do some work to find that finished product. It is the glory of the king to conceal a matter. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the honor of kings to find it out. Many of the glorious things are not very apparent. You have to find it out. You have to find yourself out in God, through his word, through coming into the presence of God like this, through interacting with things of God. And this also applies to ladies too. You have to find out, what does God have for me? Who am I? You know, understand yourself. You see, one of the challenges that you can find with many people is that they want other somebody else into their life, but they don't even understand themselves. You don't know who you are. And I'm not saying that you will, you know, there can be some dimensions of change to your life over the years, but at least basically you can understand yourself. So before you know another person, try to know yourself. Try to acquaint yourself. Try to be comfortable with yourself. Know your limitations. Know the things that you like, some of the things that you don't like. Because God has a shape for us. I think about 2-3 weeks ago, I spoke about shape. S meaning spiritual gift, H meaning heart, A meaning attitude, P for personality, and E for experience. So God has something for you. God has, you are a person that God has made in a unique way, and you need to find yourself in God as a man.
Hallelujah. The next thing I have for single ladies is that be beautiful indeed. Be beautiful indeed, inside and outside. Inside and outside. And, out, you know, in the order of priority, it should be inside. How many of you have been beside someone who has a bad breath? You know? So I said, ha. Well, I mean.
Well, it's fasting.
Oh, well, okay. Sometimes it is, but I'm just using that as an example. The person looks all together, right? And then you start having conversation and the person just says, hallelujah. And you're like, oh, God have mercy if it is the person that is, you know, praying and he's laying hands. You'll just, you know, be slain in the spirit because you're like, the farther I can be away from you, the better for my own, you know, sanity. That's an example. If the inside is not pure and clean, it's just a matter of time. It will become repulsive to the other person. And I think it also ties back to the first point I gave, being in God. When you are in Christ, in God, you embrace the person of Jesus and also his principles, his teachings, his laws, his law of love. And the Bible says in Ephesians, talking about the character, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all of those is not the shape of your eyebrow. It's the inner working of the Holy Spirit in you. It's the inner working of the Holy Spirit in you. Develop your character. Now, I believe that in church, it is also a good opportunity to develop your character. How many of you, when you ask the Lord to help you to be patient, and then in church, or even at work, or at home, that's, well, I'm talking about single, right? So in church or at work, or your family member, your sibling starts stepping on your toes, that's the answer to your prayer right there. You have to learn how to manage your emotions. You have to learn how to walk in love. You learn how to forgive.
Yeah.
Those are the things, those are the qualities that will make you an excellent wife. And I want to say that it's not everybody. I mean, I know that a lot of times in our community, African community, Black community, or, you know, generally people believe that everybody should be married. But in scripture, Paul said, yeah, you know, there are some people that have the gift, you know, to serve God with their singleness. So if that is you, I mean, but what I'm trying to say that even this, even if you don't get married, this is the principle of Christ.
Yeah.
Knowing the Lord, loving Him, serving people, being kind to people.
Yeah.
You know, there's a story of Rebecca, right? She, you know, sometimes we, like Pastor said, sometimes we treat God like, oh yes, we're doing this to get something from Him. Sometimes we treat people too because we want to get something from them. But if you read that story about Rebecca, you know, Abraham sent his slave to go find a wife for his son. And she helped an old man, an elderly man, to feed his camel. You know how camels are.
Yeah.
They are usually in the desert. They are thirsty. She didn't mind. She went down. You know, she would say, what would I have to gain from this man? You know, you would, like, single, you'd be like, who would this one help now? I mean, I don't even know where he's from. I don't.
Yeah.
It was later then we now found out where he was from, and you saw that. And I won't say I'm sure, but it's safe to assume that that probably wasn't the first time she did it.
It's a custom.
She probably was always kind, and she didn't know that person would lead to, you know, her own husband. So develop the fruit of the Spirit. But I also want to say that your outside is important too. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Someone is screaming there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in order of importance, your inside is the most important thing. But outside is also important. In this scripture, we know this scripture. Sorry, I'm taking a little bit of my time here. But in 1 Samuel 16:17, you can read the whole story. But I'll just summarize. Samuel was a prophet, and God had told him to anoint the next king. And he went to the house of Jesse. He had many sons, tall, dark, handsome, everything. And he was about to anoint one of Jesse's sons, and God told him not to, right? And somehow it was revealed that there was David who was in the field, and somehow he came and they anointed him. But this is what God told Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 16:7. It says, "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth." Can you see what he says next? "For man looketh on the outward appearance." I mean, the concluding part says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. But how many of us know we are not marrying God? We are going to marry man. So if you want to, you know, export that part of scripture, God was saying to a prophet, hallelujah,
glory,
that man looketh on the outward appearance. So, clean, decent, godly. Those are outward appearances. Amen. And a lot of us, some of us, were not very. Personally, that's my personal preference. I always have to learn this thing. Some people, it comes naturally. They know how to shape the eyebrow even when they are sleeping. They know how to, you know, they do all those things. But just like you put an effort into your developing your spirit, you can make a little bit of effort, little improvement, right? I'm improving. I'm getting better, right? So, you know, and again, these principles, like I said, is the word of God.
Yeah.
It's for your daily life. I believe that even married people
to
come.
Oh, yeah. I was going to just throw that in for married people too. That
praise
the
God.
Fact that you have gotten the guy, amen to Jesus, is not the fact that you should still look good. Amen. There's nothing bad in as a married person to also make sure that you are conscious of your appearance, you know. At home, I know many people are conscious of their appearance when they are going out. Praise God for your life.
Hallelujah.
Amen to Jesus. But the people that are home too wants to see good stuff. Amen. All right, let me talk to the guy. I'll say this one more thing and then we'll pray. We're 2 and 3, right? Okay, we could do it up to 4. They are here with us. Amen. All right, well, let me say this. Proverbs 18. And here, what I want to say with that is find her in God. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 is a very interesting scripture. Many people know the verse 22 of Proverbs 18. But you see, let's look at it like this. From verse 20, the Bible says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. So if you want to make Proverbs 22 happen, whoso findeth a wife has obtained favor from the Lord. You have to start from knowing how to use your mouth. Amen to Jesus. When you are a young man, you want to talk to a lady, you have to do small homework. Amen.
Amen.
And you have to speak well. And I don't mean the phonetics and all of that kind of thing. At least let there be some level of thoughtfulness. Some of us have done some things back in the day that the nails that Jesus received on the cross, you should not be receiving those nails again. Some people don't understand what that means. It means that all this no that people are telling you, sometimes they know it's because of you. Can somebody say amen to that? So the Bible says a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. What the Bible is saying is this. Satisfaction comes when somebody knows how to use his mouth. And it's not only food satisfaction. Even marital satisfaction can come from there. The Bible says in 21, it says death and life are in the power of the tongue. That means that this mouth is your major tool. Of course, my wife talked about appearance. It also goes with guys also and all of that kind of thing. But you are going to eventually go and talk to this person. So you have to at least know how to table it in a nice manner. And let me say the reason why sometimes, even if people have use their words in a nice way to talk and they still don't have result. Verse 24 says, a man that has friend must show himself friendly. Do you know why many times people can't find or seemingly get that person that God has been leading them towards? It is because sometimes there is no homework. A man that must have friends must show himself friendly. You have to do homework. Even married people, some of you will understand that if you want to land at night, you must start in the morning. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Do we understand what I'm saying? Because some people, the way they said the amen is like, what is landing? Are you flying plane now, Pastor E? But I'm saying that it is the way you prepare your bed that you will lie on it. Did you get that one? Okay, they will come to your class, sir. You will give them PG then. But what we are saying is this. You need homework. Because I'm pastor, sometimes I've seen some moves of guys. If I was still in the days of lecturing and schooling, I'll call you. Say, if you try that again. Because we, in the name of God, we should not be careless and thoughtful. There are some of these sisters, the way we approach them, we didn't do our homework. You just came in the name of God and you are flaunting, thus saith the Lord. The Bible, if I read John chapter 1 verse 1, that's thus saith the Lord. So don't come and bamboozle anybody with thus saith the Lord. Leave your homework, speak nicely, and sometimes even try to be friendly first. You have not even done anything. You have not shown up. I don't know you. Because we come to the same church, you just come to me and say, sister, what's the Lord telling you? Can you remember your dream of last night? If you say that to... If you... And we see all kinds of stuff in church. And sometimes, by the mercies of God, you know, God will just help you. But the way the Bible wants it done is that Proverbs 18. Go and read that Proverbs 18 very well. You can see the sequence. The mouth is useful. And then it now says he will find a wife. And it now says later on that to maintain or to find, you have to show yourself friendly. You have to show yourself ready. There needs to be some level of preparation, some level of association, some level of friendly, just try to make, like one of our mentors will say, trafficate or indicate, you know, I want to turn, but just suddenly turn. No, you're going to crash. You're going to have an accident. So God is telling us as young guys, and I guess every guy, that we need a little more work. And I know many of our brothers can do this, especially church brothers. Maybe because some of us have come to church a long time, you know, we didn't used to do those bad boy moves again. Thank God for your life. We are glad that that's happening to you. But it does not still negate the fact that there's level of preparation, there's level of preparedness, and knowing how to use the mouth.
Amen. Praise God. Are we being blessed? Hallelujah. So the next thing I have here is skillfully transition from a triangle to a circle and to a wider circle. I know some people have challenges of meeting people, nice people, especially in this, you know, pandemic. Things outside is not open like that. You know, so how do you meet people? You know, you go to church, go to work, go home. So it's a triangle. Like that, you don't have opportunities, like Pastor mentioned, to build your community. In fact, now I don't even think it's a triangle, I think it's a straight line right now, especially with the pandemic, or maybe a dot because a dot. We're working from home.
Yeah, just in one spot,
just one spot, yes. And of course, the Lord gave, you know, used ravens to feed, you know. Prophets, you know, in the Bible days. And maybe it might be the UPS man that comes to deliver something.
Hey,
to your house that,
glory.
I mean, miracles happen. Miracles.
Or the usher that just bring the bowl.
Well, if they are watching from home, if it's dots,
okay, I got it.
You know. So embrace opportunities to meet people.
Yeah.
I mean, skillfully. That's why I mentioned skillfully. I mean, don't go everywhere. Because how many of us know that if you go to the wrong places, we find the wrong people there, and you end up picking someone, will end up finding you there, right? So find opportunities, come to church. Let church not only be okay, you come, and when you come to church, don't run away.
Amen.
The Lord might have a blessing
Amen.
For you. Hallelujah.
Amen. All this running away after service,
right.
To where now?
And somebody might have, you know, a birthday celebration.
Because the person has been planning. Just, you know,
just
that I want to be friendly.
Do you know what I was just thinking of right now? That maybe they have rehearsed something.
You know?
Right?
And they have planned.
Yeah, they have planned. But
that is exactly.
Because they know she will just leave. Just say, sister, I just have something to tell you. Because she's rushing away.
She's rushing away.
So, I mean, I have to give it to the brother sometimes. So it's the pressure. Is that
the
like
pressure.
A, she's leaving. I have to quickly tell her.
Okay.
I have to make it. I have to make haste before somebody else will block
my,
so maybe I'm just giving excuses, but really no excuses. As a lady, you know, you are believing God to get married. You even have a friend or a sister in church says, will you come and help me? My son is having a first year old birthday. You just feel like, I'm not meeting anybody there. Do you know if it is the godfather of the boy that will be your husband?
Uh-huh.
Do you know if it's the brother? You don't know.
You
it might be
know.
A friend. Do you know that there are conversations happening about you when you are not there? When you are not there.
Uh-huh.
When you are not there, you may not be able to defend yourself, but how you behave, how you treat that child, how you show kindness. Remember I talked about Rebecca too, how she treated someone. The person might not be. I know someone that got married. The man just said, I just like your. He's a married man. He said, I like your spirit. She introduced her to her husband. She was not there.
Yeah.
So what would have happened if she said, oh yeah, that meeting is for old men, you know, or young people, not of my age. It's only when they are doing, attend youth programs.
Yeah.
That's the playing ground.
Yeah. Those kind of Valentine's
Yes,
dinner.
Expressing love,
right.
Happening on Saturday. Come for those programs.
Amen.
Render service. You just may not know who will know someone or
that
who will
somebody.
Attend. Yes.
Yeah.
So please
change
that dot to transition from dot to straight line, from straight line to triangle, from triangle to circle, from circle to wider circle.
Yeah.
So increase, prayerfully and skillfully. We are not desperate, but we are just being practical. Exactly. And we are sharing the love of Christ.
And I think man is a social being.
Yeah.
God made us to be social. And please, in the name of God, be social. Have friends. Your quality of life will improve like that. The more you just relate with people, instead of just you, and just your very small circle of friends or circle of people that you know. And that is the story of Ruth. You know, the Ruth that we just read about her from Ruth chapter 1. That's her story. She was following a woman, and you would have thought that this is a dead hen.
Yes.
But she understood covenant and knew that when you find good people, you can relate with them. And relating with them can lead to many, 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 many good things in the name of Jesus. Let me share one more and then we are going to pray. I think you also will have one more. Okay. All right. Now, let me say this too. Because after we now get involved in that relationship, people know one another. People are having, you know, going steady, like some places they say. I need to put this caution here. Let everything be done in order. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let everything be done in order. There is a reason why God has stipulated something. If you are not married, you are not married. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
There are so many people that have had many heartbreaks because they were playing the part that they were not yet the part. There's no reason why you should live like you are married. If you are not married to him, don't be his wife. Hey, can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Oh, we are going to get married. Then let's get married. We are going to get married. It's not we are married. We are going to get married. It's not that now I am the cook, I am the this. And many people have been cheated like this. Even in the name of God. Brother. Let nobody brother you. Let nobody brother you. If I... I'm going to say one thing. If there is no ring on it, let nobody brother you. Can somebody say amen?
Yes.
Cooking, sleeping. Those privileges are for when the ring has entered. Can somebody say amen?
Not engagement ring.
And not even engagement ring. Until you have come. I mean, and nowadays, this wedding, oh, matter is not like forever. I mean, I personally believed in a workers' meeting wedding, even though it didn't happen, you know, where you just come before some few brothers and then you don't need anything elaborate. If you know that you are in that space, you guys are good to go, then go and get married. Ah, oh, Pastor E, we know some people that got married and it didn't work and all of that kind of. If we want to follow the order of God, the one that made this institution, and we're going to talk more about it in the coming weeks. We're even going to give opportunity for people to ask questions because I know people will have questions and all of that. But the way he made this thing is that a man shall leave his mother and his father and shall cleave to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Whatsoever God has joined together, let not man put us. Of course, it doesn't have to be in church. You can even do something in front of a judge. Make sure that before you start playing the part of married, there is a constituted authority that has performed the marriage oath. That's how to make these things work. We need to make marriage work again. You know, some political persons say make America great again. We have to make marriage great again. Can somebody say amen? And to make marriage great again, we have to follow the pattern of God. I know that pattern, people have challenged the Lord. People are saying, well, Pastor E, what you are talking about is old school. People now, once you have a girlfriend, that's it. It's not old school. It's new school. And do you know the truth? It is God's school. I still know people who are marrying today, people who are married few weeks ago, few years ago, who followed the pattern of the Bible. And you see, the reason why you want to follow pattern of scripture is this. Number one, when the pattern is followed, God will honor you. Let me tell you, marriage is stressful, oh, without, even with God. I'm married, I'm a pastor. When I shout like this, when I still get home, I'll still behave like a man. Can somebody say amen? And my wife would just be like, this man of God. And she would call me some other names like that, you know. But we are still men. It is just God that is helping us. So, and I believe the help would be better when you honor him. Even me as a human being, if you honor me, I am more predisposed to show up. It's not like God will now leave you if you don't honor him. But ladies and gentlemen, you can't break the principles of God and expect the blessings of God to be abundant on you. The Bible says, can we walk in sin and expect grace to abound? It says, God forbid. So this has to be drummed in. If you are not married, you are not married. Don't let any brother now start playing the part, now start showing up. And sisters, let's help some of these our brothers. Because some guy, the guy is just showing so much, show up, come so late, leave so late. Sir, I will call pastor for you. I will talk about that process a little next week. When somebody approaches you, why you should let other people know about it. Because let me say this, and I'll hand over to you again. Anything that is in secret may be dangerous. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Anything that you cover will not make you prosper. It's not only sin. The relationships are there. Don't tell anybody about it. Just two of us. It's a recipe for disaster. Anybody that is proud of you that doesn't want any other person to know about it, run for that person. Any relationship that somebody says, well, it's just me and you, our love is just ourselves. What do other people? Other people have something to do about it. Because when that guy is misbehaving, somebody will be able to shout. So many people have even died because they kept it under wraps. He said, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody, don't tell anybody. Tell somebody about it. Tell the pastor about it. Let us know that it is going on. We will, I want everybody in this church that is not married to be married. That's my prayer. That's why we are doing this week. We are praying for single guys, single ladies. We want it to happen, but we want it to happen the way of God. Can somebody say amen?
Amen. As you can see, pastor is happily married.
Hey.
He's not coming for your babe or anybody. It's just for accountability, right? And don't feel like you have it all together. Ask for help where needed. And the last thing I have here is watch and pray. In other words, be woke.
Hey.
Girls. And this really touches my heart a lot because I was deceived. There are times that my emotions can, you know, women... there was a time, even before I started dating my husband, there was this guy. He was not really a believer. He's just a Catholic, but not like, at least he had a little bit of the fear, a pinch of the fear of God. But he spoke well. And I was telling him, can you remember I told you? I said, I like the way he speaks. My husband says, speaks. Like,
as a counselor, you know, in those days.
When you noticed that this guy was around me a lot of time, you're like, who is this guy? I like him. I like the way he speaks. Thinking about it now, I'm like, I like the way he speaks.
And God has given you a son that speaks.
I know, right? When I have a speaker here as my husband. So, I mean, we can be, ladies, we can be really emotional. And
swept
the Bible says, yes, guard your heart with all diligence. Even sometimes, some people may be seeming like they'll be trafficking. They're giving you attention. But they have not said it with their mouth.
They can ask you.
When you get married, how many children would you like to have? You two, you'd be saying, oh, I would like to have three, maybe two girls and one boy. Oh, you say, that's nice. Where would you like to live? I would like to live on the north side, and maybe later, after 5 years, you know, we can move to the suburb, we can move to Skokie. He's like, oh, that's a good idea. But he has never said, I love you, I want to marry you. Has never said. He may just be asking you like a friend, like he asks his main friends. Yes, they may have this conversation with their friends. Guy, when do you want to marry, Seth? That is having a conversation about marriage does not mean he's talking to you about marriage. So be awake.
That is even showing attention.
That is showing you attention, calling you. He might be calling other people like that too. You too, if you realize that you are becoming emotionally attached to this person and this person is not... has not been explicit.
Yeah. And he may even want some benefits.
You too, there's something called accept and decline. Don't pick up all the calls.
Yeah.
Don't give. There's something about, of course, as a lady, you should not be like have natural
shoulder
pad that nobody can talk to you. Be but humble. You also don't want to be that accessible that anybody can just enter your heart and go out anyhow.
Yeah.
No, you should be able to have guidance. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence.
Yeah.
Not everybody comes in.
Yeah.
You talk about marriage, but you have not mentioned anything. And if you realize that, okay, this person is becoming your friend, that you can have those candid conversations. Because there are many times, there have been times when we were in college, there's a guy that will be marking this lady every time we finish school, every time we finish classes, he will escort her. No, that guy has come to talk to her.
Yeah.
And then if you ask him that, who is she to you?
Parking signs around the ladies.
Parking signs. And you ask the guy, who is she to you? She's just my friend, though. Meanwhile, you have blocked the way for other people to have conversations with her.
If you're a guy, don't do that.
Is that fair? So, you know, so ladies, you too, you have to be woke. Because a lot of times in all these heartbreak relationships, it hurts me so much that it's ladies that are usually at the brunt of this.
Yeah.
Most times, I'm not saying that guys don't have heart too, but most times they just walk away and I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way.
The guys also cry too.
Hey, for the most part, I feel like it's the ladies.
Get hurt.
Yes. And they now prevent other people. They feel like there's nobody. They have a guard. They have the guard that they didn't set up at the beginning. They now take it so high that nobody can come again because of the past hurts.
Yeah.
So please, as you watch, as you pray, please watch.
Yeah.
Be awake. Don't let your life be a playground for someone to play ping pong. Amen.
Amen.
God will help us.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we stand to our feet this morning? And I want we are going to pray for people. I don't know where you are in all our discussions. We spoke majorly to singles, but as a married person too, you can take something from here. The love of God is real. And marriage should be enjoyed. I'm telling you. And it's possible. I just want you to speak to God. Whether you're single, whether you're married. And ask God. I want to enjoy my marriage. I want you to help me. I submit to you. You can make me enjoy this institution called marriage. You made it. It's not man-made. No, it's not Hollywood that made it. Not America that made it. This is the God of the Bible that made marriage. So Father, this morning, we are all coming to you and asking for help in the name of Jesus. Let it happen, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Amen. I want you to pray for hurting people. Somebody got out of a relationship, maybe badly. Somebody indicated that they were coming, but they never came. There's some level of betrayal. Maybe there are even homes and marriages that are under pressure now. I just want you to pray. Speak over those houses, those people that need the help of God this morning.
Our comforter and our healer, Lord, we come to you. We ask you, Lord, that in the name of Jesus, every person who is feeling hurt or disappointment right now, they experience your healing power, they experience your comfort, they experience your grace in new dimensions in the name of Jesus. I pray that our eyes and our hearts will be open. Each and every one of us that's hurting or feeling disappointed, that each and every one of us will come to know and believe the love that you have for them in the name of Jesus. I pray that the completeness that is in Christ will be their experience in the name of Jesus. The healing in Christ will be our experience in the name of Jesus. The help, the grace, the confidence in Christ will be their experience in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, oh God, what might seem impossible, the healing that might seem impossible, the guards that might be so up, Lord, I ask that, Father, in your tender mercies, you reach each person in the name of Jesus. Where no words can comfort, Lord, Holy Spirit, reach and touch every heart and heal completely in the name of Jesus. We thank you for healing. We thank you for new beginnings.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, because this is a new chapter that has opened in our lives for greater and better things.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for the strength to take the next step.
Amen.
Thank you for the strength to believe again.
Amen.
Thank you for the strength to love again.
Amen.
Thank you for the grace to forgive.
Amen.
Thank you for the grace to just trust you.
Yes.
That you have the great plans you have for us, you will bring it to pass in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, mighty Father.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that person, lady, believing you for a man, that man believing you for a lady, we are declaring there will be supernatural connection.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The way you did it for Ruth, that from the unlikely place, through the most unlikely person, the way you were able to do it for her, you are still the same today. And we're asking, oh God, everyone at the sound of our voice that desire to be married shortly or soon, Lord, let the connection happen in the name of Jesus. And every marriage at the sound of my voice, hear the word of God. We declare life into you, fresh wine into you, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying.
Amen.
A louder amen if you can.
Amen.
We will have this question link. I don't know if media has it. They can show it. I know many people have a lot of questions today. We'll take some questions next week. And so you can copy that link, send those questions there. We'll prepare for them. And we'll come and take, we'll talk to singles, we'll talk to, the next week we're talking more to married, but we're going to take questions next week.